It is 1993, and 19-year-old model Kate Moss and photographer Corinne Day's photo shoot called Underexposure, released for Vogue's June campaign. However, this campaign was different. Kate Moss was in her underwear, behind a blank, seedy background, staring into the lens with a sullen face. These photographs were actually taken in her then-boyfriend Mario Sorrenti's apartment. How personal. Underexposure was the first depiction of heroin chic in a high fashion magazine. However, the model Gia Carangi was arguably the woman who invented heroin chic.
Top model Gia got it all at once. She walked into New York 4 years ago from Philadelphia and captured the limelight instantly.
Gia Carangi was a model who was mostly known for her magazine covers. She featured on the covers of Armani, YSL, as well as Dior. Gia gave us a raw sense of vulnerability with her photo shoots as she showed her natural beauty on camera. Gia did not live up to the 1980s supermodel expectation that came before her. She evoked emotion through her photographs as well as beauty. However, Gia's sudden fame within the fashion industry required a lifestyle she found hard to keep up with.
I started working with very good people, you know, and a lot of work, I mean, all the time, very fast. I didn't build into a model. I just sort of became one.
Gia was heavily infused with the lifestyle of rampant partying and substance abuse, more specifically, abusing heroin.
At one point, you got kind of into the drug scene, didn't you?
Yes, you could say that I did. It kind of creeps up on you and catches you in a world that's, you know, none that anyone will ever know except someone that has been there.
On November 18th, 1986, at the age of 26, Gia passed away with AIDS-related complications. Her death wasn't given much publicity. However, her legacy did not go unnoticed, as her death sparked the normalization of drug abuse within the fashion industry. Heroin chic glorified a particular lifestyle and a standard of beauty, particularly for women, in the 1990s. Heroin chic featured waif models with thin frames who portrayed emaciation in their photoshoots. Heroin chic's models had stringy hair and dark under eye circles and appeared as heroin addicts, hence how the name was adopted. Heroin chic depicted models under the theme of consumption, poverty and violence, all themes that were major issues during the 1990s. Heroin chic surfaced during a time of recession in the 1990s. College graduates were entering a deflated job market, assumably created by the mistakes of the baby boomers before them. In 1996, Newsweek reported that US heroin consumption had doubled since the mid-1980s. These issues within American society created a sense of nihilism amongst the youths of the 1990s called Generation X. Generation X could no longer associate themselves with the high fashion trend from the decade before them. These trends included vibrant colors and permed hair. They no longer looked up to supermodels such as Cindy Crawford and Claudia Schiffer. The trend that surrounded the 1980s did not reflect Generation X's cynical view of the world. They viewed 1980s glamour as tacky and gimmicky.
The 80s were over, and the 90s to me represented something different, something more natural, something less flashy.
Generation X was obsessed with showing the truer image of young 90s life. Therefore, when Underexposure was released in 1993, this trend, heroin chic, reflected the sense of realness from Generation X's perspective. Heroin chic's cultural trend also translated into other forms of media, such as film, in which movies such as The Basketball Diaries, Pulp Fiction and Trainspotting all depicted an element of drug abuse in their storylines.
Choose life. Choose a job. Choose a career. Choose a family. Choose a fucking big television.
At the time, grunge music had become popularized in the 1990s, as bands such as Nirvana and Alice in Chains both suffered with heroin abuse and often portrayed that struggle in their music. The extensive drug abuse surrounding mainstream media during this time often validated the artists who were depicting this cultural lifestyle. this idea of a tortured artist romanticizes the idea of drug abuse and illness. For example, the lead singer of Nirvana, Kurt Cobain, was heavily indulgent on drugs during this time as an artist, which eventually led to his death by suicide in 1994. His tragic death immortalizes him as a true tortured artist, the lifestyle in which he was depicting throughout his career. As heroin chic became popular throughout mainstream media, the trend became more and more extreme, and simply more associated with drugs. Photographer David Sorrenti emerged in 1996 as his photographs of his then-girlfriend Jane King gained popularity. His photographs were often raw and spontaneously shot on the streets of New York, which illustrated a type of youthful angst that mirrored the trendy fashion photography at the time, in companies such as Vogue and Calvin Klein. Sorrenti was obsessed with the idea of consumption being portrayed on camera. Even his girlfriend, Jane King, who was struggling with drug abuse at the time, was being portrayed as desirable through his lens. In 1996, Sorrenti then moved to fashion photography, as he shot for Detour magazine, as he depicted waif models appearing as drug addicts. Sorrenti then photographed for Gucci in 1997. He featured male models collapsed on the ground, appearing to be strung out on drugs. These photographs appeared too on the nose for critics, as no beauty could have been seen through these photographs, nor any desire for that emaciated look he portrayed. Throughout this time, Kate Moss was continuously successful, as she often collaborated with Calvin Klein as their main model.
No, the best protection against AIDS is to keep your Calvins on. Now that could definitely come between me and my Calvins.
Kate has that quality of child woman thing, which touches a nerve with men especially. Always on the edge a little bit.
She continued portraying as a waif model, but stated she never contributed to the lifestyle attached to heroin chic. She quotes, "I had never taken heroin. It was nothing to do with me at all." However, heroin chic came to a sudden halt in 1997, as David Sorrenti died in circumstances attributed to heroin, a drug in which he had only recently begun to dabble in. The same year, Bill Clinton spoke out against the trend in a public press conference.
"We now see in college campuses and neighborhoods that heroin becoming increasingly the drug of choice. We know that part of this has to do with the images that are finding their way to our young people. In the press in recent days, we've seen reports that many of our fashion leaders are now admitting, and I honor them for doing this, they're admitting flat out that images projected in fashion photos in the last few years have made heroin addiction seem glamorous and sexy and cool. You do not need to glamorize addiction to sell clothes. But the glorification of heroin is not creative, it's destructive, it's not beautiful, it is ugly. And this is not about art, it's about life and death. And glorifying death is not good for any society."
Sorrenti's death sparked a conversation surrounding the trend, which led to its eventual collapse. In 1999, Vogue dubbed Brazilian model Gisele Bündchen the return of the sexy model and the end of the heroin chic era. The trend that is heroin chic sparks many questions, especially for myself who is an avid consumer of fashion media. In this podcast, I will delve into the specifics surrounding the trend and ask questions such as, why are we so attracted to trends? How does heroin chic contribute to the male gaze? And how does heroin chic hold up today? In the next episode, I would like to take a step back and focus primarily on trends themselves. What are they? Why do we follow them? And why do we go to such extreme lengths to feel a part of something? Stay tuned and see you for next week's episode.